Some people ask me why I'm so happy, even when sorrows press on. They see me laughing while the storm is raging. They wonder where I get my song. But they cannot see the trouble I faced not so very long ago. To comprehend this joy that's within, there's something that they need to know.
I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest while the waves grew higher, sheltered from the desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die, delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den, given new life in exchange for my sin, set free, forgiven, I've been born again. Oh yes, I have been rescued. I used to feel trouble, my sorrows were doubled as the burdens of life dragged me down. I was defeated till I saw what I needed, then his tender mercy I found. Though life is rough, I'm not giving up, even when I am tested and tried. I'll not waste time doubting, I'll go on to shouting, I've crossed to the winning side. I have been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from the desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die, delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den, given new life in exchange for my sin, set free, forgiven, I've been born again. Oh yes, I have been rescued. I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest while the waves grew higher, sheltered from the desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die, delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den, given new life in exchange for my sin, set free, forgiven, I've been born again. Oh yes, I have been rescued, set free, forgiven, I've been born again, I have been rescued.
Thank you, folks. I appreciate it. Philippians chapter 2, find that place in your Bible. You still get familiar with your book. It's probably halfway through your part of the Bible that we call the New Testament. You get to Romans, keep going to your right, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and then Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians chapter 2 tonight for the message, chapter 2. And find about halfway down the chapter to verse number 14. I'd love to have Brother Ramos preach, but I was not in the pulpit last Sunday because of Brother Westmoreland, and I really wanted to preach this tonight. Actually, a two-part message. I'm going to give you the first part tonight, and then down the road we'll get the second part later. But let's stand together in honor of God's Word tonight, if you're able to do that. I'm going to begin reading verse 14, where Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." I want to speak tonight on this subject, the most needful place for the gospel light. The most needful place for the gospel light. I overlooked Lori Campbell. She's in from Arizona. She was here Wednesday night in another church this morning, but it's always good to have Lori home. Amen. This is still home, Lori. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for rescuing us from our sin. May we forever be grateful to you. We're going to live with you in heaven. That's the promise that you've given us. And Lord, until that time, help us to be mindful of your grace that was sung about in the choir song. And Lord, what you've done for us through Christ and through his death, burial, and resurrection. And help us, dear Lord, in these days. My goodness, we, Lord, ought to be shaken in our souls at the need for gospel light right now in our world. Help me tonight. Help us all. Fill both speaker and listener with your spirit, oh God. That's our great need for these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And be seated. When reading the New Testament, you know, I mentioned this morning, we read the Bible sometimes. I've set it off like a fairy tale. So you read these stories, you have to realize these things happened in real time to real people. Okay? And when you read the New Testament, and especially the part of the New Testament that we call the pastoral epistles, the Pauline epistles, where Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he wrote to the church at Corinth, and he wrote to the churches of Galatia, and he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and the church at Philippi, and the church at Colossae, and the church at Thessalonica. You have to remember, it does us good to be reminded that the Christians living in the first century were living in cities much like the ones that we live in today. Morality in their day, morality was not the overwhelming influence. Immorality was the overwhelming influence. The worship of God was not the overwhelming influence. The worship of idols and idolatry, that was the overwhelming influence. The majority of the people were not children of God, like the majority of people are not children of God today. All right? Government was not conducted under the influence of biblical principles, like government is not being conducted under the influence of biblical principles today. In fact, in our text, Paul said that the people in Philippi lived in what God called a crooked, hello, and perverse nation. And yet, Paul challenged the church members at Philippi to live as God would have them live. And here's why. To shine as lights in the midst of their dark world. And that hasn't changed, people. That's been recorded in this book and preserved for us because it's the same challenge for you and me today. Now, in verse number 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Paul addresses the Philippian church members and he exhorts them not to be murmurers and disputers. Now, that word, I think murmurers, we understand, okay? The word disputings there, it means debate. It means questioning about what is true. It means hesitation. It means doubting. Now, this is in reference to what he had said previously in verse number 12. Look at verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He's talking about this challenge that he gave them to be obedient to God at all times. Obey God. Obey God. Obey God. I mean, that's the challenge. And I mentioned this verse here, verses 12 and 13, a couple of weeks ago on our pilot's night. Remember, we are to work out what God has worked in us. And people, that's accomplished through obedience. That's how we work it out. As we are obedient to the grace that God has worked in us, verse 13 tells us that he will give us the want to and the to do concerning his will for our lives. So he's worked grace in us. He tells us to work it out. We do that by obedience. And if we'll just obey God, he's going to take care of the desire and he's going to take care of the enablement to do his will. That's what we talked about a couple weeks ago. Now, Paul exhorts them to do all that was expected of them as Christians without private mutterings, secret whisperings, and complaining. That's what he's saying in verse 15. And in verse 15, if they obey him in that manner, Paul says there will be positive results. Look at verse 15. That ye may be blameless. So we're to do things without murmurings, without disputings, without questioning about what is true. Folks, if you don't have this thing settled right, I don't know, get it settled. Get it settled. Okay? And when you find out what God wants, then don't question and don't doubt and don't hesitate and don't mutter and gripe about, man, why do we have to do this? And what's wrong with this? And no, none of that. See, God's put it in His book. He said, just obey God. And do it without murmurings and do it without disputings. And if that happens, first of all, verse 15, you will be blameless. The word means free from fault. Free from fault. And then he also says they would be harmless. That's an interesting word. The word means unmixed, without a mixture of evil. Innocent. Boy, we could use a good dose of that today. Parents, that ought to be the goal. In every house with little children, young teenagers, you want your children to grow up innocent. I didn't say sinless. Paul wrote to the Roman church and he said, be simple concerning evil. That word simple just means innocent. You're not gaining anything by exposing your children to the evil of this world. Okay? And so we're to be harmless. If we'll just obey God at all times and do it without whining and do it without complaining and do it without murmuring, like it's such a grievous thing to obey. No, you said away with that. You're saved. You're born again. You get the privilege of obeying God. Okay? You're going to be blameless. You're going to be harmless. And then he said, thirdly, they will be sons of God without rebuke. Look at it. That you may be blameless, without fault, and harmless, unmixed, without a mixture of evil, innocent. The sons of God without rebuke. They will be people that obey God and do it without whining and complaining. They will be without such things that would be inconsistent with their testimony of being saved. That's what he means. When he says, with the sons of God without rebuke, you're going to be without such things in your life that would be inconsistent with the testimony of being saved. I tell you what kills Christianity, folks. It's an inconsistent testimony. Can I say something tonight? This is not because I witnessed anything down visiting Toby and Dina, but you know, nurses and doctors and people in hospital rooms come in and out, in and out. I come in to pray. One of the assistant pastors comes in to pray. They're in there. You know, look, I know it can be frustrating to be in the hospital, but folks, keep your testimony in the hospital. I mean, they know you go to Faith Baptist Church. That's a testimony right there. And you're getting mad at them and fuss with them. But look, I I'm not saying nurses aren't with that. Sometimes they're as grouchy can be. I get it. Okay? But keep your testimony. Just be a good Christian. Obey God. That's what he's talking about here. Now, without, they'll be blameless, they'll be harmless, sons of God without rebuke. Now, you know someone like that. Everybody in this room does. His name is Daniel. Remember Daniel? He's in Babylon, and his enemies, what, went after him to try to find something in him. I'm quoting now from the book, but they could find none occasion nor fault. There's your blameless. For as much as he was faithful, there's your obedience to God. Neither was there any error, there's your harmless, or fault found in him. Daniel was free from fault. He was unmixed with evil. He was a powerful testimony as a child of God without any error attached to him. His testimony was not diminished by his sinful behavior. What a great challenge for us. He did that in Babylon. He's not living in Israel. He's in Babylon. So what a great challenge for us to obey God without complaining, without debating, without whining. Why do we have to live like this? What's wrong with doing that? Being a Daniel, free from fault, unmixed with evil, having a powerful testimony that's not diminished by sinful living. And why? Why? Look at verse 15. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. This is what he's telling them. Your crooked, perverse nation needs light. So obey God. Do it without complaining and whining and grumbling and hesitation. Obey Him happily and you'll be without fault. You'll be unmixed from error. You'll be a child of God with a testimony that is consistent with your profession. Come on, church. A testimony that's consistent with your profession. And you need to live like this because your world is dark. Well, it's too bad we have an irrelevant book. Too bad the Bible went out of relevancy at the turn of the millennium in 2000, right? Is there any question that we are living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation? Any question? Tuesday, March 22nd, the Senate Judicial Committee met for the purpose of questioning Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. She'd been nominated by President Biden for a seat on the Supreme Court of the United States, the highest court in the land. At that hearing, Marsha Blackburn, the senior United States Senator from Tennessee, asked Judge Jackson a simple question. Can you provide a definition for the word woman? Jackson, who is a magna cum laude graduate of Harvard College, answered, "Can I provide a definition? No, I can't. Not in this context. I'm not a biologist." Now, folks, listen, this thing... President Biden said, "I'm not going to appoint anybody but a black woman to the Supreme Court." But his appointee doesn't know the definition of a woman. It's like a cartoon. The person nominated to sit on the highest court in the land cannot provide a definition for the word woman. And she's likely going to be confirmed because you got Republican senators like Susan Collins of Maine that have jumped on board with Jackson's nomination. She's going to be voting to decide cases brought before the highest court in the land, and she cannot define the word woman after her president who nominated her said he was only going to nominate a black woman. But she could have said, "Well, I won." She can define the word woman. She chose not to. In order to show her allegiance to this transgender woke crowd that's pushing its far left liberal ideology on this country. Now, I mentioned this morning, I'm going to say a few things about current events. Not going to be here long because I have an ulterior motive. A few days after that comment, that answer to Senator Blackburn's question, Our beloved newspaper, USA Today, published an article that addressed her refusal to answer the question. And I'm quoting from USA Today. "Scientists, gender law scholars, and philosophers of biology." Boy, doesn't that sound impressive? Gender law scholars? Your three-year-old understands gender. Gender law scholars and philosophers of biology said Jackson's response was commendable, though perhaps misleading. Perhaps. "It's useful," they say, "that Jackson suggested science could help answer Blackburn's question. But they note that a competent biologist would not be able to offer a definitive answer either. Scientists agree there is no sufficient way to clearly define what makes someone a woman. Ask anybody that travels, Brother Bragg, Brother Natterville, Brother Ramos, myself. You walk into a motel, what newspaper's sitting on the USA Today? They give them out free. During the same time period, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed into law the Parental Rights in Education Bill. I like the name of that. The measure prohibits classroom instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity in kindergarten through grade three. It should be all the way through. It's not up to the teachers at school. It's up to the parents. Or in a manner that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate, parents will be able to sue school districts over alleged violations for damages or attorney's fees when the bill goes into effect July 1st. And the woke crowd is having a meltdown. Disney Corporation. Good old Mickey Mouse. At some point, God's people need to quit giving money to this godless corporation. They denounced the law, and now Governor DeSantis has initiated moves to strip Disney of its self-governing power, and there's been back and forth between the governor's office and Disney Corporation. Disney Corporation, like Judge Jackson, has bowed to the idol of transgenderism. The NCAA has opened the gates to allow transgender athletes to compete as the gender of their choice. So if a man identifies as a woman, he's allowed to compete against women. Real women. Actual women. Biological women. Okay. Y'all with me? Get it? Okay. And there's a clear difference between a man and a woman. And generally, men are stronger than women. Generally. You do every now and again, you meet one that's a little, okay. But generally. You know, I mean, look, folks, I'm not digging deep into articles. This is all stuff on the surface of every news thing, okay? A trans swimmer has competed as a woman and won almost all of his events, smashing records. I wonder what woman's basketball team will be the first to allow a man to play for them. I mean, how can they say no when they've already said yes? You say, well, that will never happen. The pressure is on. The golden image of transgenderism is being exalted in our nation. And when the music begins, we're all going to be expected to bow down and worship the ideology which the image represents. It's time for some Shadrachs, some Meshachs, some Abednegoes to stand, and everybody else is bowing. Now, I would imagine that we're all ticked off that the nominee for a seat on the highest court in the land cannot define the word woman. It probably makes all of us sick that could even be a possibility rather than a reality. Without an argument. I don't know how anybody could argue. It is time in our day for some Daniel-type Christians to be free from fault, unmixed with evil, to have a powerful testimony that is not tarnished by hypocrisy. It's time for us to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're living in this day. The I don't know what it's going to take to get Christians off their seats. Your nation is falling apart. And we just sit and sing, never grow old. And amen. And when we see Christ, and I'm for that. Man, you know I love those songs. But Paul challenged the people. You know, well, that was in Bible. You're right. That was in Bible day. You're right. That was in cities where immorality was prevalent. That was in cities where the minority of the people were Christian. That was in cities where government was not principled by Bible truth. You're right, that was in Bible days, and we're in those days now. And I'm not suggesting that we're the only ones, but I am saying, folks, it is time for us. Heaven, help us. It's time for us to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You know the words that I think are most important? Well, they're all, but the words that jumped off the pages at me were those three words in the middle of the verse, in the midst. Where do our lights need to shine? In the midst of the church? I don't think that's what it says. It says in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation. People, the best place, the most needful place for the gospel light to shine is in the midst. Now, Paul used, look at verse 15. He used the plural pronoun, your King James Bible pronouns, that ye may be blameless. The end of the verse, among whom ye, the pronoun ye in your King James English is a plural pronoun. It doesn't mean you. It means you and 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 you. He uses the plural word lights. Does that sound like more than one to you? That's not singular. That's plural. Okay? So he uses the plural pronoun ye. He uses the plural noun lights instead of the singular. Yeah, look, our church, singularly our church, our corporate assembly here, needs to be a lighthouse. But folks, beyond that, each and every one of us needs to be a light in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation. In the midst. And we need to shine as lights by way of walk and talk. I'll get to the walk in another message, but I want to emphasize the talk part tonight. As God's people, we need to boldly shine the gospel light in the midst. Hide it in the church house. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it in the church house. I'm not being ugly. But in this church, like every other church, that's all that some of God's people are doing. As soon as you walk out the doors of this place, your light gets turned off. That's where it's needed. That's where it's got to shine. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4, listen carefully. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, I had this thought this week, as sick as I am of all that's going on. I wonder if anybody has given Ketanji Jackson the gospel. Ever? I'm not sure where she grew up. But as a little girl, did any Bible-preaching, gospel-believing church send anybody to her door? See, we get mad. What in the world? Can't define. She's blind. She's got a dark mind. And the only thing that brings light to it is the gospel. Has anybody shared the gospel with the heads of Disney Corporation? As little boys, as little girls, did anybody have a vacation Bible school in their neighborhood? Did anybody drop a Chick Track off at their door? I had, because it look, I'm like you. I read this like, world. But they're blind. Anybody ever give the NCAA honchos, whoever they are, did anybody ever give them the gospel? If the answer is no, if Ketanji Brown Jackson never heard the gospel, if the Disney Corp gurus never heard the gospel, if the NCAA honchos never heard the gospel, then what should we expect? It's the gospel. That is the light. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Break it down. The gospel. The word gospel means good news. The good news, the gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, and Jesus' resurrection. That's the light that shines. And the world is in darkness. And this darkness, as I said this morning, has a power to it. If you were not in the service this morning in the other building, you remember what Jesus said to those in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came to arrest him and how they behaved. He said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. All of that behavior, arresting the Son of God, shackling him, taking him to a false tribunal, smacking him, pulling his beard out with their hands and putting a crown of thorn on his brow and scourging him. All of that, folks, was the result of the power of darkness. Darkness is dispelled by one thing. One thing only. And that's light. It's dispelled by light. And I'm going to tell you, you know, that's really what 4 Sundays set aside this spring, these weeks, this is really what it's all about. It's hypocritical to be ticked off that 2 legal marijuana dispensaries are moving in our town if we're not out with the light. It's hypocritical to sit in judgment of government leaders who are making ridiculous decisions if we're not taking the light. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm desperate. Somebody needs to get desperate. Because this thing's going to hell in a handbag. Last fall, the program was fruitful. Well, James, what a great encouragement you are. What God has done in that man's life is wonderful. Devin and Ashley, your children, y'all are a blessing. And others. We prayed. Some planted, some watered, and God gave the increase. And the increase has stayed with us. And the gospel was taken, and the light shone in darkness, and some were saved. And some have stayed. And that's all, folks, that we're encouraging our church to do as we kind of concentrate these next several weeks. We're encouraging ourselves, take the light and let it shine in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation. And let's have a little fun doing it. Let's enjoy serving God. Why do we have to have? Stop it. That's exactly what Paul said. I don't think we're asking anything or the other than just to be obedient to God. And Paul said, quit whining. Quit complaining. And I haven't heard that. Okay? I haven't heard that. Maybe you have. But this is what he's talking about. Stop that nonsense. It's a blessing. It's a privilege to obey God. Do it without disputing, without hesitation, without doubt, without questioning. Is this really necessary? Well, you tell me. What should we do? What should we do? Gather here and sing, never grow old. And I've heard of a land that's called heaven, and shout it out. And whoopee, we're all going there. Yeah, inside the four walls of this building. And everybody else goes to hell. So you tell me, what would you do? What do you think? What would you lead a church to do? It's heavier than it's ever been because of a crooked and perverse nation. That Connect Four matter, Brother Allen talked about it last week. It's on the little. I didn't bring my phone in here, but it's on the phone, the screensaver. Fervent prayer. Sign up with a prayer partner. That worked last fall. Inside the family, outside. You know, don't sit there and say, well, you know, I guess I won't participate because I can't. I don't have anybody in my family to pray with. Find somebody. Amen. Sign up to fast one meal. Not one meal a day. Not one meal a week. One meal in a period of 4 weeks. That's one meal in 28 days. Times three or four or five. However many meals you eat. It's one meal in 28 days, 30 days. One meal. That's all. But collectively as a church family, every meal during this time period, somebody is going without the physical to grab hold of the spiritual. Somebody's giving up the temporal to grab hold to the eternal. Put the wallpaper on your phone. Look, I don't understand it all. I just know they sent me a link, and I did a few things, and now I've got it on my phone. When I look at my phone, I see Connect Four. Do you get to report once a week how much time you spent looking at your screen? Every time you pull your phone and make a phone call to send a text, you'll see that screen, that wallpaper, Connect Four, and it just reminds you, God help our church. Get a bookmark. Grab one of those little cards for your key ring. Put it on the other day, last week. How many times I touched that and I reminded, this worked last fall. Pray. And I want to say to those of you whose health has left you where you aren't able to get out and physically walk down a block, I want to say to you, you can be just as much a part of that as those who put their feet on the ground if you will just take Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Saturday especially, noon. And you don't have to pray the whole 2 hours, but just at that particular time, you can't physically go out, but you can bombard the bulwarks of heaven. Oh, God bless those people today. Amen. I've used this illustration before. We had a man here years ago that served in the army during the years that Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. Okay? So we're going back a ways now. All right? And they all talked about how mean and treacherous the Iraqis were, and in particular, the Republican Guard. If you remember that term or not, Republican Guard. Mean motor scooters, okay? Suicide belts, beheadings, all that stuff. And our infantrymen are on the border of Kuwait, ready to go in. And the brother that went to church here at that time, he told me, he said, Pastor, he was there. He said men lost, they were so shaking with fear, they lost control of and soiled themselves. Out of fear, because all they'd heard about was a Republican Guard. But he said, we stayed in our place for I don't know how long. The United States Air Force sent those fighter jets over, and they bombed, 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 and they bombed some more. And when those infantrymen finally entered Kuwait, the Republican Guard came out of their trenches with a white flag. He said, I never fired my weapon. Do you know what your prayers are? You know what has to happen to the ground out there before it's receptive to the gospel? It's got to be softened. Amen. Fervent prayer flyers. Take a group of four or more of those. Hand them out this week. Gas station, store. Just give them to people, okay? Well, they don't want them. Then they'll throw them away. Okay, but if one takes one. Family soul winning. And this, Brother Allen hit it right. We really encourage it. Please. Saturday. Oh, I like Tuesday. Oh, let's try something different. Brief lunch, pray, go out. And look, you say, well, it's family soul winning. I don't have, look, if you don't have a family member to go with, okay, I guess I'll just stay home. No, 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 no. Come. Come. It doesn't matter. In the end, it doesn't matter if you're with a family member or not. Okay? I'm hoping we're going to find more people at home and we'll take packets with us. It has John and Romans and Sunday school information and the spring program information. And we're not just going to walk up and leave it on the door. We're going to knock and talk to people. Did you got something in your hand? Information piece. And it's a talking point. And it's good. It's helpful. Okay. And then hopefully just get an invitation in, or at least a gospel presentation, whatever. Focused Sundays, not just coming to church and attending. Focused, dialed in tune, with purpose, as he preached yesterday, with help to serve. People, there are so many moving parts in this thing. He talked about that in the message yesterday. So many moving parts in this thing, some of the things that we're doing for these four Sundays. Really, there's something for everybody to do. We can sit around and bellyache about the direction of our country. We can huff and puff and blow the house down about a Supreme Court nominee who can't define woman. But until we decide to do as Paul commissioned these people to take the light to the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, I don't know that we got much. I don't know that our huffing and puffing amounts to a whole lot. There were at least two adults in the service this morning. I don't know who ignored that. Probably three or four adults in the service this morning that were lost. Lost. There was a somewhat professed atheist here this morning. They came to church. God still works. God still works. And I look at these folks that were reached last fall who are still with us. And, you know, folks, you've got to really think that through a little bit. You come to it, you don't know, you're not familiar with the songs. Everybody's singing and it's like, I never heard this tune before. I don't know. And like around, everybody else is singing. And it's awkward, but they've stuck through it. It's an old story. Everybody's probably heard it. But it's worth telling again. But the old man who used to like to enjoy early in the morning going down to the beach, lived by the ocean, not far from the ocean, and walking along the beach and just quiet. And he went to the beach after a strong storm had blown through the area the night before, and there were literally hundreds of starfish covered the beach. Hundreds. You know, what in the world? He started walking, just what in the world? Saw a little boy, a young boy, walking towards him. He's going one way, the boy's coming this way. And the boy stopped and bending over, and what is he doing? And he gets close and realizes that the boy is picking up starfish and throwing them in the ocean. And they got close enough, and that man said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm rescuing these starfish. Ha! He said, son, you see how many starfish are on this beach? It ain't going to make a difference. It ain't going to mean anything. That boy picked up one and threw it in, smiled at him, said, made a difference to him. made a difference to him. If there's one Devin, if there's one Ashley, if there's one James, one rescued, makes a difference for them. I don't know what else to tell. What more will it take to get God's people? I've even asked some of you personally. We've talked personally. How can you get involved? What can you do? Sing in the choir? What can you do? And we still sit. I'm at the point where I don't know what to do. I'm not going to get discouraged about it. I can't do that. I got too much to do in life than to be discouraged over people that just sit. Okay? So I'm not going to get discouraged about it and live with it. But I got a responsibility to preach that book to you. And I'm telling you that the most important, the most needful place for the glorious light of the gospel is in the midst of this community. In the community where you live. And all of us need to step up. Step up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll please help our church in these days. It's urgent. And it is so easy to get mad and aggravated and frustrated at a society that's godless. But the answer is the gospel light. We may not be able to make a difference in Washington, D.C., God, but we can make a difference somewhere in a house here. Please help us. Spirit of God, I've done all I can do tonight with the preaching to try to lay the truth out. Challenge our hearts tonight. Challenge our hearts. Help us to enjoy obeying you. Enjoy it. It's not grievous. We're going to heaven. I've been rescued from a hot burning fire. Thank you. Thank you for the difference that can be made in a life. Blessed, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Will you pray? Will you go? Will you participate? Will you jump in? Will you rescue? Or at least try? Will you take the gospel light to the midst of a crooked and perverse nation? Will you do that tonight? Would you do it? That's my prayer. Let's stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The pianist begins to play the song of invitation. You obey the Lord tonight. Only if God speaks to you, don't make a show. But what can you do? What can you do? What can you do? What can you do? God, help us. God, help us. What can you do? Would you come? Would you talk to the Lord a little bit about this? Lord, I can do this in my neck of the woods. I can take the gospel light to the midst. Please help us.